Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. Hey everyone, and thank you for tuning in. On this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, Kathy De La Torre shares the benefits she has gotten from having a podcast, but in her case, it was just for enjoyment that she started it, not actually as part of a business. This is an interesting new perspective that we haven't seen before on the podcast. So for those of you out there who don't have a business but are still interested in starting a podcast, this one's for you. I hope you enjoy. Kathy, thank you so much for being on the show today. I've been looking forward to this.
Yes, me too. I'm happy to be here talking to you, Evan.
So I like to start off in the same place with everybody, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you first were starting out, and did that fear come true?
I think my biggest fear before starting the podcast was, did I have anything relevant to say? Or was my content going to be of any interest? And what it came down to, me getting over that hump, was, you know what? I am really interested in this content. And so I feel like there's probably going to be some like-minded people like me. So what the heck? So like, why not? You know, what do I got to lose?
Yeah.
It's just a little time and effort. So yeah, I just jumped right in.
How did people react? Have people accepted your content, and have you been able to generate buzz around it? And how did that fear actually end up having any truth to it?
Okay. Great question. You know what? I have gotten nothing but positive feedback for the podcast about the content, the questions, a lot of great feedback from the guests, because I do a little bit of research of my guests before they come on. So if they're authors, I actually download their books and I read them cover to cover. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So when they come on the show, I have a lot of questions about the content that they provide, not just about their story. So I host the Inspire Cafe podcast, and it's all about people sharing their inspirational stories, how they came over their adversity, and then what's the positive outcome that came out of the experience. That's the key thing. So we all suffer adversity, but not all of us have something positive to say about it. So when I do the research, I read their books, I listen to prior interviews, and I try to garner and pull a little bit of tidbit of trivial information from those interviews or books, and then ask them questions about that, because that is likely what most people don't ask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to have a new spin and a new perspective on certain topics, because in today's today, more and more people are starting podcasts about so many different topics, and because of that, there's more and more of a necessity to make your podcast unique. And there is definitely important to be able to find a unique perspective to take on certain topics, like how you ask those certain questions and you get right and you focus on positive outcome and things like that. And I think that that's amazing.
Thank you.
It's of course great to have positive feedback. I know that a lot of people, their biggest fear is, or are people going to hate this? Is anyone going to like it? But you're going to get positive feedback. Now, have you had any experience with negative feedback?
No, actually.
Wow.
Well, all of the reviews that I've gotten so far have been very kind.
Yeah.
The feedback that I got back from my guests have been really great. So far I've been pretty, I guess, sheltered. I know some people maybe not have gotten the best reviews, but I think my topic is probably geared toward the kind-minded person as well. So maybe that has something to do with it.
So how long have you had your podcast now?
I started it in November. Let's see, that was 2017. So yeah, so it'll be 2 years this November.
Wow. Well, and do you do, do you do one a week, or do more than one a week, or what's your system?
Yep. I release them every Thursday, and it's been like clockwork. I don't miss a week. I've been told that consistency is key.
Yes.
And I would love actually to just like take a hiatus now and then, because like sometimes you're just tired, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I decided from the get-go that I was just going to just release them week after week, regardless if it's a holiday or whatever. So that has been my goal, and I've been consistent so far.
So you've been able to stay consistent throughout all the 2 years?
Yes.
Nice.
That's right. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you schedule ahead of time, or do you kind of do it week by week?
What has happened is that I travel a lot. So what I do is I kind of clump them together, a bunch of interviews over a month period of time. Yeah. And then I just hold them on reserve. And so when I'm traveling, I don't have to be worried about recording. I try to record as I travel, and it has its challenges because not every place has great internet or Wi-Fi. And so I actually bumbled with a couple guests where we had to reschedule because I didn't have a good enough connection. So with that in mind, I'm trying to cluster them together. And then that way I just have a bunch in the bank, so that way I can release them while I'm traveling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do as I'm in the beginning stage of my podcast, is get as many recordings as I can get done, and then have them all scheduled so I can be off the hook for a month or more, you know, at a time.
Yes.
It's always nice.
It is nice.
And that gives you time, too, to get more interviews recorded, like you were talking about. So
absolutely, absolutely.
So let's transition a little bit to the back end of your podcast and the work that it takes. Do you do everything yourself, or do you outsource?
Yeah, I do. I do everything myself, and I'm kind of geeky that way because I like doing it. I actually enjoy the editing process. I know I must be weird. But you know what? Okay, so my process is, after we record an interview, I go through a two-step editing process. I do the major edit, and then I go back and I do a fine-tune edit. And what I'm learning from that process is that I'm condensing the material, and so that way it's a little bit more refined and we're getting more to the meat. So that way the listeners, they're not wasting their time listening to the tangents, you know, when people go off on the tangent and they're like, oh, I want to know what the gist of the story is. So exactly. I'm condensing it. I used to be a photojournalist, and so editing is a big part of that job, and you got to edit. So it's very, post-production is very important.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Is that something then that you're probably going to stay doing yourself, or are you considering outsourcing?
For now, I don't have any plans to outsource this yet because I enjoy it so much. So I'm going to continue doing that. And then, you know, it's my QC, it's my quality control.
Yeah.
And it would be very difficult for me to explain to somebody how I would want them to edit it based on the content, as opposed to if it was just like taking out the uhs and the ums, you know, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Somebody can handle that. But when we're talking about the content base, I think that's a little bit more tricky. And so I think I feel more comfortable doing it myself.
So you edit more based on content and not as much based on things like and on and stammers and such?
I do edit those out. Not all of it, but if somebody says a lot of ums, it gets very distracting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It does. So I have to take that into account for the listeners as well. So it's all about the listeners and their experience. And so it actually makes the guests sound better too in the final product.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win. It's good for everybody.
Exactly. So you've had almost 2 years of podcasting experience, and it sounds like you do a lot of editing. How have you been able to streamline that process? How much time would you say that you spend per week editing? And what does your system and flow look like to streamline it?
Okay. Basically, my streamline is just being more efficient at it. I used to think too much about it. Should I leave this in? Should I take it out? I'm just much more quick and making faster decisions of what to keep and not, how should I say, overanalyzing it. Sometimes I would just like think, and then that ends up wasting a bunch of time. Yeah. So basically, the more you do something, the better you get and the faster you get at it. And so my process is once I record the interview, my first edit will go through that, and then we'll go through the second edit. So basically, it might take a couple hours of time to get everything edited, done, and uploaded on Libsyn.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't encountered a lot of people who use that like double editing process. What more specifically is the difference between the first and the second edit? Like, what are you looking for when you go through the first time? And then what are you looking for when you go through the second time?
Okay. Yeah. Good question. So my first edit is doing the major obvious stuff. So that's where I take out the uhs and ums. Mm-hmm. And the major portions of the interview, it doesn't have anything to, it's clearly obvious. It has nothing to do with the content of the podcast. So I take those out. The second role one, fine-tune edit, has to do with the content only. It's really fast actually to do the second round because it's already cleaned up. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, does this question and response add to the content of what the listeners are or is it just superfluous? So if it has, if it's not adding to the story, it's not adding to the value of the content, I just like take out that question and response out. It's very, very simple, very, very quick. When I'm going through the first edit, I'm more focusing on the details as far as the, like you were saying, the ums and the ha's and the clear tangent stuff that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the second edit is actually goes really quickly.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about audio editing. What are the other parts of the process? Like, do you have show notes and things like that? And what, is there anything you do besides specifically audio editing?
Let's see. For the longest time I was doing show notes, but then when I started traveling, my Wi-Fi was so inconsistent and then I stopped doing it. So I got to get back into that in all honesty, Evan. So, as far as anything else, the most time that it takes, or what takes most of my time, I should say, is preparing. It's pre-production. Preparing for the interview. So it has to do with research for the guest. What books have they written? I go out and read those books. If they did any other interviews that are relevant to the topic that I want to talk about, I listen to those. Mm-hmm. And it's compiling a list of questions that I think that would be good. Now, and it's not to say that I don't veer off those questions. A lot of times I do, because it's just based on how the interview is going. So it's a little bit more organic. If we come to a stalemate, then I know I got my list of questions to fall back on.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. I know that I'm sure helps with, that's how you vet your guests, right? Like, that's how you find the guests that are right for your show, is through the research and looking at what books they've published and things like that. Because I know that some people may not be sure exactly how to find guests that are right for them, and right for their audience.
Right.
And research is how you do that, really,
That's true. But you know what? I've interviewed a lot of people who have never been on a podcast before, never been interviewed. And those are actually a lot of fun, because you're working with a blank canvas, right?
Yeah.
You get to be the first one to ask them all these questions, and it's really fresh for them to talk about it. So you get some great responses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's transition a little bit. And I know that usually my guests have a business that their podcast is associated with. Mm-hmm. But I know that your podcast is a passion project. It's not necessarily part of a business, or like, it's not being used as a marketing tool or an income generating machine. What are your thoughts on that? How have you enjoyed having it as a passion project? Has it been worth the time? And are you considering doing anything with it in the future, business-wise?
Okay, yeah. Well, my desire to start the podcast was, like you said, it was a passion project. I had absolutely no connection with any business with it whatsoever. So it is purely because of something I really wanted to do and enjoy. And it started on the side and my hobby, basically. Yeah. And I intentionally wanted to do it because it was just a matter of me. I had my own story of overcoming adversity, and I wanted to talk to all these people and learn from them. So it's kind of a selfish little reason, actually, because I'm so curious. I wanted to learn, like, how do these people get over things, and what makes them so resilient? And I just, it's sort of like a study. I'm doing a study. And so, Over time of doing all these interviews, I've learned so much. And it's almost like every time I do an interview and I'm asking them all these questions, and it's great because I get to pick the questions what ends up happening, I feel like I get a shot in the arm of a boost of positivity, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is just so positive about what they learned. They want to share it. And that's what's been driving me, really, because it's sort of like, well, if I'm getting this boost of energy and positivity, then maybe hopefully somebody else who's listening is getting that boost too. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning through this process that podcasting, we have like a sense of responsibility, right? Because we're recording oral history, basically. Yeah. There's this new format. Oral history has been around forever. So we have the books and we've had the movies and the music and theater and all this great stuff. And now we have a digital medium called podcasting. And so it's sort of like, now that I know that creating content that is permanently out there in the world, it's sort of almost like a responsibility. So I feel like I have to be responsible in the sense of, if I find valuable content and I'm enjoying it, then I'm hoping that other people will enjoy it too. And so hopefully it's providing value out in the world as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot the second part of your question. Oh, the future. So the future is, I had no idea what I was going to learn. I just, was doing it because I'm out of my curiosity. And so now that I've been doing it for a while, I'm learning all these common threads. There's some certain truisms that I'm learning from all these people I've been interviewing. And so from that, I think a book is going to come out of it. So yeah. Like basically what I have learned from all these amazing people and what they're willing to share in order to help others who might be going through challenging times.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know that a lot of times, through a podcast, you get so many different perspectives and you get so much more value and information from it. With each guest that I've had on the show, I've learned something new, or they've provided a different perspective. And, that really was a lot of material for probably a lot of books. And,
yes.
And every podcast host has that, you have access to all these interviews. Even if someone is a loyal listener and they listen every week, you, the host, are the most connected with the guests and the material because you're the one that's involved in the entire process.
That's right. So. I mean, and now that you've been doing it, Evan, don't you get a kick? Like, it's sort of like you get a one-on-one mentor with somebody like you never met before, or you never would have expected to meet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's someone, we wouldn't have connected besides this, I probably not anyway.
Yeah, I know.
And we're learning things and we're talking and we're having a conversation. And that's the case with every podcast guest that you have on your show, really.
Yes.
Especially if, if it's like mine talking about podcasting, it's like I have a podcast coach. It's like a free hour of podcast coaching that I get whenever I talk with someone.
That's right. And from every person you talk to, you just grab a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there, and you're just like building your toolbox. And it is awesome.
And you get, and then I get to use that content to get more listeners, get more people, give more people value. So it's like a coaching that I get that anyone can like eavesdrop on and also learn things from.
Yeah, I know. And that's such a blessing. So I kind of equate being a podcaster is like having the great VIP pass or a media pass, right? Yeah, because otherwise, you know, if Evan just came off the street, hey, can I just spend an hour with you and ask you a bunch of questions?
Yeah.
You're like, excuse me, who are you? And
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So since your podcast isn't part of a business or anything like that, would you say that it's definitely been worth it up to this point to have the podcast, spend the time, spend the money? Because I know Libsyn, you mentioned Libsyn. I know Libsyn costs a little bit of money. Has it all been worth it, even though it hasn't been generating any income or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of like I was saying, getting a mini seminar every week. Yeah. Like, you know, people, they pay hundreds or thousands of dollars to go see and listen to people talk for an hour or two. So every week I have a little mini seminar and I just think like, wow, isn't that so cool? I never thought it would be like that. I never thought I would get so much out of it, but I'm learning that, you know, podcasting is sort of like a three-prong entity. So the podcaster, we're learning, we're getting something out of it because we get to ask all the questions. That's obvious. Number two, the listeners get to learn everything that you learned by listening back. And then three, you know, especially like for my podcast where people are sharing their sometimes traumatic stories, it's almost like a cathartic experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're sharing what they went through and it's healing. It's very interesting, this whole podcast thing.
Yeah, exactly. Something too, a lot of people, you know, may consider starting a blog for something that may not be business related. They might want to just start a blog to get down thoughts or, you know, have a medium talk about things. And in a lot of ways, I feel like people don't think of podcasts the same way. Like people think, oh, a podcast? Oh no, I can't start one of those. Or, you know, that's too much, too involved. But honestly, podcasting is kind of becoming like the new blogging because more and more people are doing it. It's like the new thing that a lot of people are doing. It's arguably easier than having a blog because all you do is if you have an interview like this, you're just talking with someone, you know, I'm just asking the same questions I ask everybody else, really.
Yeah.
And you answer and we talk and have a conversation. I don't have to sit down and try to think of and write a blog post. So, I mean, would you say that you would recommend if anyone has any kind of topic or something that they want to talk about, even if it's not business related, would you say, yeah, start a podcast about it?
Absolutely. You know, podcast is fun. I mean, what got me into listening to podcasts is because I can multitask. Yeah. I can learn something educational or inspirational and do my laundry or go for a walk or, you know, wash my car or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Road trips are great for podcasts. You know, you can listen all day long. So I highly recommend it and it doesn't have to be fancy. I think a lot of people overanalyze, oh, I need all this equipment. You know, I'm still using my cheap little ATR 1200 that Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income recommends, you know, it's only $70 it doesn't take much to get out there. And a lot of people use their phones and they hook up a microphone to their phone. They're going for a walk, recording their thoughts. So anything, my only suggestion is that make sure you pick something that you love to talk about. And because the name of the game is longevity, right? So I read this article that 12% of podcasts have only published a single episode and half of all podcasts have only have 14 up to 14 episodes before they quit. Yeah, I know. So that's such a shame. You know, why go through all that trouble, learn how to do it and then stop doing it? So exactly. make sure whatever you decide to talk about is something that you love to talk about, and you want to talk about it for not just 6 months, but maybe it'll be 6 years. It's a commitment. And they say that the most popular podcasts, the top 100 or whatever, have over 200 episodes. So maybe keep that in mind. Can I talk about this for 200 episodes? That's a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, podcasts, you have, even if you just have one episode a week, I mean, it can go on indefinitely, you know. And another thing too is the more success you have, it comes from the longer that you're doing it. I mean, you know, episode 100 is going to have more listens than episode 10 or episode 1.
That's right.
And you get that audience, even if you don't do anything like marketing wise, like posting on social media or anything like that, your audience will grow over time. You know,
That's right. And if you're providing quality content and you're post-production and you have great editing skills and you just keep trucking along, it will eventually grow. So I think a lot of people get a little bit disillusioned. Oh, they want a million listeners within the first month or whatever. It just doesn't happen like that for the most part. So just keep in mind, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
And especially if your podcast isn't connected to a business or anything like that, I feel like the pressure is really kind of off, you know, because it's not, if you're just doing it as a passion project for fun, then having an insane amount of, I mean, obviously you want as many listeners as you can have, but at the same time, like, you're just doing it for fun. You're doing it because you enjoy it and you want to impact people. So even if only one person listens, you've still impacted one person. And if 10 people listen, it's like you're in a room with 10 people talking to them.
That's so right.
I mean, if you have a business and if you're trying to use the podcast mainly as a marketing tool, then there might be some more pressure to get more listeners because you want to use it to generate leads or you know, something like that. But if you're just trying to influence people, then the pressure's off. Because even, like I said, even if there are 10 people, then it's rumored. And if you have 100 people, it's like you're hosting a conference.
That's right.
What people? I mean, that's a lot of people if you think about it.
That is a lot of people. I mean, just imagine, yeah, you standing there with your microphone and everyone's sitting there listening to you, what you got to say. Exactly. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah. And 100, I feel like 100 listens is pretty like beginning of the game numbers to have. You know what I mean? That's not like thousands or multiple thousands. Like 100 listens. You know, even if you don't do any marketing, I feel like, no, I'm not there yet, but I feel like you could get to that point faster than you might think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it really depends on how good you are with the social media and the marketing, like you were talking about, Evan. Yeah. And that'll help you grow faster or get listeners to become aware of you faster. So exactly. It just all depends on how much you put into it and, you know, what's your motivation. So if you just is your motivation for personal benefit or is your motivation for monetary business for your business? So they're going to be completely different animals.
Although you can have both.
Yeah.
Know? Like I started my podcast as a combination of both. I wanted to influence people. And I know the kind of benefits podcasting can have for a business and just for life in general, because that's what I do. I do podcast editing and I've launched multiple podcasts for multiple people. And there's never anything bad that happens because of that. And
that's right.
A lot of people feel like a podcast isn't something for them or it wouldn't work. But a podcast really was for everyone. I mean, anyone can have a podcast. Nothing bad can happen.
Really. That's right. And, you know, having editing services like you were talking about is for the people like, oh, I'm not a techie person or I'm not, you know, not like Kathy, like to edit. then you go to somebody who can do it and it just makes it super duper simple for you. Yeah, like even more so.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I started it to provide value and also because I wanted to impact more people and hopefully, you know, get some more clients for my business too. You can have, you know, it's both. That's you know, I mean, it's not going to succeed if I don't provide value. So I make sure to have, you know, it's both, you know, and when I'm interviewing, I'm not thinking, how can I, you know, skew this to make the most money or whatever. Interviewing is when you share the value and you talk and you have fun.
That's right.
But then if you have like an email list or something like that, then it also can serve the purpose of helping your business and hopefully having some kind of monetary value as well.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's, I mean, the first and foremost always has to be providing value. So, but, you know.
Totally agree.
So as we start to wind down, now I don't know if you've already answered this question with talking about finding a topic that you're really passionate about, but for those listeners out there who are still unsure about starting a podcast or whether or not a podcast is right for them, what would be your tip for that, for those listeners?
I get, okay, so we already talked about picking a topic. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, the other thing is that, let's say, for example, your topic is something where you know there's a lot of podcasts already out there. And maybe you're thinking, oh, I can't do another podcast on that. There's just so many, you know. I would have to say that, yes, there is a need for another podcast out there. And the reason is because nobody is like you. Nobody speaks like you. Nobody has opinions like you. Nobody can discuss the topic just like you. You're going to be able to relate to a certain demographic that is just like you. Because, like, even if there's 100 different podcasters out there, they're all different and they're all going to convey the information differently. Some people don't sync with them. And so maybe what it is that they're just waiting for somebody that they can sync with, and that person is you. Yeah. Absolutely. So whatever voice you have, whatever topic that you're thinking about doing, even if there's a lot of podcasts out there, you know, just remember half of the podcasts die after 14 episodes. Don't worry about them. Just provide great content. Focus on what you're passionate about, and remember that there are people waiting for you, and they need your voice.
Exactly. Powerful. And I still can't believe that there's even any percentage of people who publish only one episode and then stop.
I know, right?
Why would you, what was even the point of that?
I mean, maybe it was like a bet. Well, I bet you can't, you know, make a podcast.
Yeah. They publish one episode and then it's like, yeah, I did it.
Exactly.
So for those listeners who are interested in what you have to say and what you're talking about, what you do, how can they get in touch with you and find out more about you?
Yeah, I would love to hear from people. Okay, so I host the Inspire Cafe podcast. They'll find it at theinspirecafe.com. I am on all the platforms. And if you want to reach out to me, just email me at info@theinspirecafe.com. And I would love to talk to you or hear about you. Interestingly enough, I do get a lot of people who seek my advice about what's it like to start a podcast, and also how do I guest on other people's podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's, you're interested in those two topics, I'm happy to talk about that too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the big one. I mean, I could probably start an entire different podcast on things like finding guests.
Yes.
And it's just like one of the most frequently asked questions.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I think people got a lot of value from this conversation, and you had a lot of value to provide. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Evan. And thank you for creating this podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.